This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been in da'wah and preaching for 23 years. 23 years of da'wah, 23 years of sleepless nights, 23 years of sweat, blood and tears, 23 years of mockery, 23 years of struggling, 23 years of strife, 23 years of torture, 23 years of perpetual, consistent, insistent, persistent da'wah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the last Ramadan of the 10th year after Hijrah, this is before the Hajj, in the 10th year after Hijrah, Jibreel came to the Prophet, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in i'tikaf. And he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, extend your days. And some of the scholars say, what you're looking for is in the next 10. So increase the days of i'tikaf. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 20 days of i'tikaf in the 10th year after Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan. And in that month, Jibreel came and recited the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam twice. Every other year, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the Quran to Jibreel once. On the 10th year, he recited it twice. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most learned of Allah Rabbul Izzah. Like, he is the one that has acquired the greatest ma'rifah of Allah Rabbul Izzah. And as such, has the greatest understanding of the signs when Allah Rabbul Izzah wishes to give him a sign. And of the greatest to understand the symbols when Allah Rabbul Izzah wishes to give a symbol. And the greatest to understand the hints when Allah Rabbul Izzah gives a hint. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his own heart, in secret and alone, realized that, this is a hint that, oh Prophet, your days are coming to an end. But the heart of the Rasul is like an ocean. It bears the ships that come on it without reaction. So the Prophet took this information in and kept it. Then came the days of Hajj. And it is as though Allah Rabbul Izzah's desire to show the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasul, look at the plants which you planted. Look at the fruits of your toil, sweat and labor. Look at the result of your hard work. Remember the days, O Prophet, when you did tawaf alone around the Kaaba. Look at it now, 144,000 people have come to perform tawaf with you. Remember the days when Mus'ab was being tortured and Bilal was being beat and stones were being placed on their chests, and you bore it with patience and perseverance. And remember the days when they stepped on your throat, O Prophet. And remember the days when they strangled you, O Prophet. And remember the days when they used to walk after you in the streets of Makkah and pelt you with stones. Remember when they made you bleed in Ta'if. and you bore patiently, O Prophet, look at the results of your sabr and istiqamah and the results of your da'wah. Today the Jazeera has fallen to Islam. So as though to show the Rasul, Allah Rabbul Izzah, under the guidance of Jibreel, took the Prophet through the manasik of Hajj. And 124,000 or 144,000 Sahaba are there with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing the Hajj. And in this Hajj, the next sign the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the first sign the Prophet gives the Ummah of my imminent departure, is when he stands and says, Ya ayyuha an-nas, khudhu manasikakum anni, fa inni la adri la'alli alqaakum ba'da 'ami hadha bi hadha al-mawdi' abada. O people, take the rituals of Hajj from me, for I don't know if I will be with you again on these plains ever again. And the Ashab started to cry, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the rites of Hajj, and we discussed this in depth last week. And in his khutbah and the day of Arafat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the message, and at the end of it, Jibreel comes down with the verses to say, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Today I have completed your religion, I have perfected for you your deen, and conferred upon you my bounties and my favors, and have chosen for you Islam as a religion. So it is as though to say, O Prophet, your mission has come to an end. You conveyed the message. And to highlight it, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands and says, Ya ayyuha an-nas, ala hal ballagh? So they said, Na'am, ballagh al-risala wa addayta al-amana wa nasahta al-umma. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pointing to the sky, says, Allahumma fashhad, Allahumma fashhad, Allahumma fashhad. O Allah, bear witness, they have said that I conveyed the message. O Allah, you said religion is complete, and I handed over the whole of the religion to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same Hajj, in the days of Tashriq, Jibreel came again with the surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. When the help and aid of Allah Rabbul Izzah came and with it its victory, and O Prophet, you saw mankind enter the folds of religion in their masses and multitude, so glorify your Lord and repent, for your Lord is one that accepts repentance. The scholars say, as the verse is revealed, the Prophet tells Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, I sense this is a hint up to me that my time is close. So Jibreel replied, he says, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. O Prophet, don't tie your heart in this world. The other one is better for you than this one. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these final verses of Idajah confirmed for him that my time in this world has come to its end, and I will be going towards meeting my Lord. Even in the verses, it takes away concentration from the Nuhza and into himself. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the 11th year, because Hajj is the last month of the year, in the 11th year, returned to Medina al-Munawwara, and one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ did in the month of Safar, he went and visited the martyrs of Uhud. And the Ashab say, he made such a dua and gave such a farewell that it was farewell for the dead and for the living. And the Prophet ﷺ loved the martyrs of Uhud. They were his Ashab and his companions, and those that stood with him and fought with him and bled with him and defended him and honored him. And 70 of them fell in the day of Uhud. And the Prophet ﷺ, the Wafi, the Taqiyun Nabi, never forgot their kindness and never forgot their passion and their zeal. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the end of his life, has gone there again and asking Allah Rabbul Izzah to have mercy on those companions that fell in the days of Uhud and grant them his Jannah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the pulpit, the minbar, and he gave a speech to the people to say, I will go before you. These are the hints that the Prophet ﷺ is about to leave this world and say goodbye and farewell to this world and move towards his Lord. And the Ashab of the Prophet ﷺ are with him and sitting, and he ﷺ says, I will leave before you. وَإِنِّي شَهِيدٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, and I will be a witness over you. وَإِنِّي لَأَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ حَوْضِ الْآنِ, and even from here I am looking at my hawd and at my pool at Jannah. And I have been given the keys of the treasures of this world. And I don't fear for you that you will become mushriks after me, but I fear that you will get tangled up in this dunya and it will destroy you as it destroyed the nations before you. And then, towards the end of the month of Safar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a messenger to his free slave Abu Muwayhiba, and he tells him, Allah Rabbul Izzah has ordered me أن يستغفر لأهل هذا البقي, to go and make dua for the people of Baqi. And Baqi is the graveyard next to Medina where the Muslims were buried. Allah Rabbul, and look at the loyalty of this Prophet to those that have passed before him. Not forgiving the dead, not forgetting the dead or the living. The Prophet ﷺ goes with Abu Muwayhiba to Jannatul Baqi. And Abu Muwayhiba says in the hadith, is narrated by Ibn Ishaq and also in Musnad Ahmad, but the wording is different. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيُهَنِّيكُمْ مَا أَنْتُمْ فِيهِ, after saying, As-salamu alaykum ya ahlul maqabir, peace be unto you, O dwellers of the graves. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, glad tidings to you in what you are in the graves, safe from what is about to fall humankind, safe from what is about to dawn on my ummah. أقبلت الفتن كقطع الليل المظلم, calamities have started to come. The dark nights of trials and tribulation is about to come. Fitan are about to come, one following the other, one on top of the other. الْآخِرُ شَرٌ مِنَ الْأُولَى, the last of the fitness being worse than the one that precedes it. Every fitna, every trial being worse than the one that came before it. And this is the huge heart of the Prophet ﷺ. who is aware of what will happen to his nation after him. I will die. A straight away ridda will start. A straight away chunks of people will forsake Islam. There will be wars and bloodshed. Muslim will fight against Muslim. The sword of La ilaha illallah will rise against the sword of La ilaha illallah. You will dispute in your amir. This fitan will continue. And 2012 will come. People will still fight and destroy each other. A Muslim person will enter the masjid of the Muslims and blow himself up, thinking that he has done some good and some khayr. And these are the fitan, the trials and tribulations. The fitan are coming. Akhiruha sharrun min al-ula. The last being worse than the beginning. Days of calamity are coming. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for them. And then looking at Abu Muwayhiba, he said, Inna Allah khayyarani an yu'tiyani khazain al-ard wal khuldu fiha. Allah Rabbul Azza has given me the choice to give me the keys of the treasures of this dunya and to live in it eternally, or to go and meet my Lord. So Abu Muwayhiba said, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. O Prophet of Allah, by my mom and my dad, choose us. Choose the keys of the treasures of this world. Choose the keys of eternally living with your ummah. And then Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَلَّا يَا أَبَا مُوَيْهِبَ لَقَدْ اخْتَرْتُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّي. I have chosen the meeting of my Lord. I have opted to go to my Lord and not see the calamities of my ummah. I, Abu Muwayhiba, I will go to my Lord. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was in the middle of the night, and he confided this in Abu Muwayhiba radiallahu anhu Allah. And he came back to the city, inside the city of Medina. And on the 29th of Safar, there was a funeral in the Baqi, a funeral in the Baqi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attended the funeral. And once the funeral ended, illness and fever gripped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Ashab say, the heat became so much that we could feel the heat of his skin burning through his turban. We used to touch it, and the forehead, you could feel the heat of the forehead on the blessed turban of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his headache increased, and the temperature of his body started to increase. And coming from the Baqi, he came to Aisha radiallahu anha and entered the house of Aisha, and he found her saying, Wa ra'sa, oh my head, O Prophet of Allah. Wa ra'sa, what a headache, O Prophet of Allah. The Prophet, looking at her, said, Bal ana wa ra'sa ya Aisha, bal ana wa ra'sa. But no, my head, Aisha, my head is the one that really hurts. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued in his ordinary duties of prophethood and of leading salah and of teaching and guiding in his sickness. So he used to come and offer the salah in that state of pain and temperature, and he used to go and visit his wives in that state of pain and fever. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people would still come to visit, and he would still give advice and nasiha, so much so that the last verses of the Quran, and this is the qawl of the muhaqqiqun, that the last verses of the Quran were revealed 9 days before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. There's an ikhtilaf min bab al-amanat al-ilm. There's an ikhtilaf between the scholars, between this verse and Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. But the stronger qawl from the tarjuman of the Quran, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that the last verses to be revealed on the Prophet was this one, 9 days before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, but day by day he was becoming more tired, and day by day more worn out, and day by day the pain used to increase, and day by day the fever was increasing. And in this immense pain and immense fever, he was visiting his wife, as in to be just to them, and in every house he visited, he used to say, "Where will I be tomorrow? Where will I be tomorrow?" And the wives who know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood from his questions that there is somewhere specific he wants to be tomorrow. So they said, "O Prophet of Allah, we forgo our rights, go stay where you please." And this is of the adab of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants to stay with Aisha, and Aisha he loves dearly. They asked him, "Man ahabbu an-nas ilayka ya Rasulullah?" Qala Aisha, "Who is the dearest of people to you, O Prophet?" He said, "Aisha." So now he wants to be with his beloved Aisha radiyallahu anha, but he doesn't want to tell the wives, "I want to go and stay with Aisha." So he used to say, "What place am I in tomorrow? Whose house am I in tomorrow?" Eventually they said, "Ya Rasulullah, go to where you're pleased and where you're happy." So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for Ali radiallahu anhu and Fadl, the son of Abbas, and they came and he put his hands on their shoulders and they carried the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the hujra, or to the dwelling of Aisha radiallahu anha. And they say his feet, blessed feet, were dragging on the floor as they were carrying him to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is now the last week of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Understand, for 11 days the Prophet was ill and continued in his duties, and continue to lead and offer the salat in jama'ah with the Muslims. And the whole amount of days of his illness is 13 or 14. 13 or 14. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and stayed in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha in the last days of his sickness. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Aisha, and Aisha radiallahu anha used to read the surah, "Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq," and "Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas," and blow it on the hands of the Prophet, and then hold his hands and rub it on his body. And this is the fiqh of Aisha, and the knowledge that Allah Rabbul Izzah has given her, as in the hands of the Prophet has more barakah than my hands. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is too weak to recite it, so I will recite it, blow it on his hands, and with his own barakah will rub it on the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until 5 days are left before the end of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And then the temperature rose so much and the pain became so much that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was finding it difficult to get up. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his household, "Go and collect water from 7 different wells in Medina, and then bring it and pour it on me." So they brought 7 different water containers or buckets of water from the different wells of Medina, and they poured on him the 7 from the 7 different wells until he said, "Enough, enough, tie my head." So they tied it to alleviate the pain. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into the masjid and sat on the minbar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is physically worn out, and the ashab are worried, and the gham and worry and thought and anxiety has spread across the whole of Medina. The Rasul is ill. Can you imagine when your son at home is sick, how much you worry and how much your wife worries? And this prophet was more dearer to them than their children and their mothers and their fathers and their wives. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ill. Allah alone knows the pain that is going through the hearts of the Sahaba. Then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and sits on the member of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he starts, لعن الله اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مسجدا. O my Sahaba, Allah cursed and destroyed the Jews and the Christians because they took the graves of their prophets as a place of worship. لا تتخذوا قبري وثنا يعبد. Don't take my qabr as an abode of worship. Don't take my qabr as an object of worship. When will the ummah learn? Don't take the qubur as a place of worship. Don't take the qubur as a place to ask help from. Don't take the qubur as a place to make da'wah through and ask Allah Rabbul Izzah to help you through. The last words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the last times he will sit, if not the last time, he will sit on the blessed minbar. Be careful not to take my qabr as a place of worship to come and pray in and to ask Allah Rabbul Izzah for things through me. Don't do that. And forget about the qabr of the Prophet. The ummah today goes to the qabr of every Tom, Dick and Harry, bowing down and making tawaf and praying, and Allah Rabbul Izzah through the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid it and made it haram. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lifting up his garment, says, whoever I have struck, then come, here's my back, strike back and take your account from me before I go to the other side. And any person I have caused dishonor to through my tongue, as in I have said bad about your honor, then here's my honor, come and take your repayment. And whoever's wealth I have taken, here's my wealth, come and take your repayment. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he is the perfect of the khalq, if he can clear his accounts before his death, me and you should also clear our accounts before our death. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stepped off the pulpit and led the salah. And after the salah, stood again and again proclaimed, O Muslims, whoever I have struck, here's my back, strike it back. Whoever I owe any money, here's my wealth, take it. I don't want to stand before the Zul Arsh al-Majid and you say, the Prophet struck me and the Prophet owed me money. Take whatever I owe you today. One of the Muslims said, Ya Rasul, you owe me 3 dirham. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, one of his family paid him the money, and they paid him as if to clear the accounts of this world. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Usikum bil Ansar. I give you advice with regards to the Ansar who housed me and defended me and fought with alongside me and protected me and honored me and housed me. Be careful with regards to my Ansar and my helpers. They are from my family and my people. They are from my family and my people. And they have repaid all that is owed on them. They have repaid all that is owed on them. Today it is only owed to them. Today it is only owed to them. Today the ummah is in debt to the ashab. And the ummah is in debt to the ansar. And their recompensation is in the court of Allah Rabbul Izzah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَقْبَلُوا مِنْ مُحْسِنِهِمْ. Accept the good that they do and honor the good that they do. وَتَجَاوُزْ عَنْ مُسِيئِهِمْ. And overlook their sins and their mistakes. This is of the honor that Allah Rabbul Izzah paid to the Ansar through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ عَبْدًا خَيَّرَهُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ مِنْ زَهْرَةِ الدُّنْيَا مَا شَاءَ وَبَيْنَ مَا عِنْدَهُ فَاخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَهُ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the servant of Allah, a servant of Allah, was given the choice to take from the delights of this world all what is with Allah. He opted for what is with Allah. And Abu Bakr stood up, says, فِدَاكَ بِآبَائِنَا وَأُمَّهَاتِنَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَدَيْنَاكَ بِآبَائِنَا وَأُمَّهَاتِنَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَدَيْنَاكَ بِآبَائِنَا وَأُمَّهَاتِنَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Our parents and our mothers be sacrificed for you, O Prophet. And the Ashab look around at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu thinking, what has befallen Abu Bakr? Why is he saying this? The Prophet is talking about a servant. Then when the time came, they realized that the most learned of us in the morad of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr Siddiq. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ أَمَنَّ النَّاسِ عَلَيَّ فِي صُحْبَتِهِ وَمَالِهِ أَبُو بَكْرِ The one I am most indebted to in his companionship, in his friendship, and in his wealth is Abu Bakr. In a hadith he says, whoever stretched a hand of help to us, we repaid their debt. Whoever helped us, we repaid him, except for the repayment of Abu Bakr. For we leave that to Allah Rabbul Izzah. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this bosom and dear friend, Abu Bakr was with him from the days of their teens, and with him and supporting him left, right and center. In the early days before Prophethood, the Prophet went on a journey. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hired a slave. Go with Muhammad, he's my friend, be his servant and assist him. This friendship, wallahi, humanity will not see again. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands and says, لو كنت متخذا خليلا غير ربي لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. For if I were to take a bosom friend except for my Lord, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my friend. ولكن أخوة الإسلام وصحبة. But the brotherhood of Islam and the companionship is sufficient. But he is my brother and my companion. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the first ishara to the leadership of Abu Bakr after him, says, all these gates that are open to the masjid and the gates of the Sahaba used to open inside the masjid, close all these gates except for the gate of Abu Bakr. Wall all these gates except for the gate of Abu Bakr, because after me he will be the Khalifa and he will need direct access to here. Close all the gates of the masjid, all the gates leading into the masjid from the houses, and leave the gate of my friend Abu Bakr radiallahu an Abu Bakr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went home, and after this is no longer able to come and lead the Sahaba in Salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Thursday, 4 days before his death, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pain and illness has increased so much that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't get up. And when he tries to get up, he faints. And it is as though that last speech took every ounce of energy out of the blessed body. So he stands up for salah. The azan is given. Bilal comes. As-salatu ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, put water on me. So they put water on him. Then he stands up to get up to pray, and he falls again fainted. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unconscious until he gains consciousness. And then Bilal is standing. So the Prophet said, oh Bilal, have they prayed? They said, no, ya Rasulullah, how can they pray? They're waiting for their Prophet. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pour water on me. They poured water on the blessed body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tries to get up and faints again. Again, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regains consciousness after a while. And Bilal is there. Bilal, have they prayed? No, they haven't prayed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, tell my friend to lead the salah. Tell Abu Bakr to lead the salah. The days of the Prophet are coming to an end. Let their future leader lead them in salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now designates and delegates the salah to be led by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And the last salah the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed was on that Thursday, on the evening prayer, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited wal mursalati urfa. And after this, after the evening of Thursday, he was no longer able to go and perform the salah. And he told, and look at the knowledge and understanding of Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet said, order Abu Bakr to lead the salah. Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, innahu rajulun bakkaha. Abu Bakr cries profusely when it comes time to pray and recitation of the Quran. People will not hear him. His voice will not be audible. Let Umar lead the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell Abu Bakr to lead the salah. And again, after he woke up from his consciousness, did Abu Bakr lead salah? Aisha said, no, Ya Rasulullah, let someone else lead the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna kunna sawahib Yusuf. Abu Bakr, you are like the companions of Yusuf. Order Abu Bakr to lead the salah. And they say this is of the wisdom of Aisha, understanding the weight of Khilafat, and she's trying to avert it from the shoulders of her father. That what will he say when he stands before Allah Rabbul Izzah, when the responsibility of hundreds lie on his shoulder? So as in to try to alleviate the responsibility, she says, Ya Rasulullah, give it to someone else in the stead of my father. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led the Muslims imaman for 17 prayers. For 17 prayers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Saturday, and some say on the Sunday, he felt that he was well enough to perform salah. And the salah has started, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is there, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets carried out to come to the masjid. And imagine the joy of the Sahaba, and they're standing in salah, and the Sahaba say they almost destroyed their salah. Farahan bi Rasulillah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come. They almost stepped out of their salah and they started to say Subhanallah wa Alhamdulillah, and some started to beat their hands so that Abu Bakr can realize that the Prophet came. So Abu Bakr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhu wa Allah realized that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have entered. So he radiallahu anhu took a step back. And look at the adab of the Sahaba. The Prophet has come. How can I lead the Prophet in salah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his hand on Abu Bakr to lead. But Abu Bakr refrained. So he moved just a little behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet led it, but not being able to recite loudly or say the takabir loud, Abu Bakr used to do it. But and following of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Rasul salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi is on the Sunday, a day before he died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam released all the servants and slaves that was under his care and in his household, and he paid in charity the 7 dinars which were in his possession. As he used to faint and wake up, he told Aisha, there is 7 dinars in the house, give it as charity. Aisha radiallahu anha, being busy tending to the Prophet as he's falling conscious and unconscious, used to get busy and forget, so he used to wake up and say again, Aisha, did you give the 7 dirhams? And she used to say, no, I was busy with you. So he said, how will I meet my Lord and say there was 7 dinars in my house? Aisha, give the money in charity. So Aisha gave it in sadaqah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything in the house was gone, so much so that she had to borrow oil from the neighbors to burn the lamp in her own house. And even the armor of the Prophet was given in mortgage, or was in mortgage with one of the Jews for 30 measures of barley. On the last day of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Anas radiallahu anhu says, Anas ibn Malik, now it is the day of, it is the last day, and the ashab are in the masjid, and the masjid is packed to the end and overflowing, and they are in salat of fajr. and the Prophet's house is right adjacent to the masjid, like he looks into the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to feel a little better. So he moves the curtain from the front of his house and looks at the Sahaba. It is as though to look a final glance at the fruits of his toil and labor. And looking at them, he smiled. So the Ashab, noticing the Prophet's looking, became happy and almost stopped their salah so that the Prophet can, but the Prophet motioned, "Stay where you are," and close the curtain back. And one of the narrations in Ghalib and in Fath al-Bari, they say the Prophet came and gave a final speech at this time as well to the Ashab, but in the other narrations it is not there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now on his last, this is the last day of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is in the house of Aisha as-Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And he is resting his head. Aisha says, "Bayna sahri wa nahri." The blessed head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on my chest, on the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha. And other of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have come to tend to their husband and meet the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask about him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone very tired and very weak, and his head is on the chest of the Aisha radiallahu anha. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to say, "La ilaha illallah, inna lil maut safara. La ilaha illallah, inna lil maut safara. There is no God but Allah. There is no being worth worshipping but Allah. And the death has its pangs. Death has its difficulty." As in, the pains of death are starting to come on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At this instance, Fatima al-Zahra enters the blessed house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and seeing the situation, she says, "Wa karba abata, wa karba abata, oh, the pain and calamity of my father." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Laysa ala abika karbun ba'd al-yawm." There will be no more calamity on your father after today. All the trials and tribulations have ended, Ya Fatima. Ya Fatima, the days when you were a little girl and you came and removed the intestine of the camel from my back, those days of trials and tribulations are ending. The ajal has come close. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beckoned her, and she came close to him. And then he whispered something in her ear, and she covered her face and started to sob bitterly and cry anxiously. And then, seeing her anxiety, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called her again, and she came near him, and he whispered something else in her ear, and then she smiled. Aisha told her, "Tell me, by Allah, what did your father tell you?" She said, "It is not appropriate that I give away the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And as the ending is approaching, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts to recite, "La ilaha illa ant, la ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti sakarat." And then Aisha says, he looked up towards the ceiling as if someone is there. And some of the Aqwal says Jibreel has now come, giving him the choice, "Oh Prophet, choose eternity and the joys and delights of this world and then Jannah, or choose and opt to meet your Lord and go to Jannah." So Aisha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his finger and said, Allahumma al-Rafiq al-A'la. Allahumma al-Rafiq al-A'la. Oh Allah, I choose the comrade most high. I choose the honorable Rafiq. I choose the liqa of my Lord. And Aisha says, we used to talk amidst ourselves and say, the prophets are given a choice. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, the prophets are given a choice. We knew that they were given a choice between choosing this dar and their abode in Jannah. So she says, once he said, Allahumma al-Rafiq al-A'la, I said, he didn't choose us. He didn't choose us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this instance, is touching his hand in a pot of water and rubbing it on his forehead before this instance. Rubbing it on the blessed forehead and putting his hand on the water and rubbing it. And Aisha says in one hadith, she said, at this instance, my brother walked in to the house and he had a siwak with him. And I saw the Prophet looking at the siwak longingly, like as if he wanted it. So I looked at him and he's on the chest of Aisha. Do you want it, Ya Rasulullah? He nodded. So I asked for the siwak and it was brought to me. And I looked at it and it was hard. So I put it in my mouth and softened it. And then with it rubbed the teeth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says, Inna min ni'mati Allahi alayya. أَنَّ الرَّسُولُ اللَّهِ تُوُفِّيَ فِي يَوْمِي وَفِي بَيْتِي وَبَيْنَ سَحْرِي وَنَحْرِي. And my, the one of the honors of Allah Rabbul Izzah upon me, the Prophet would pass away on my day and in my house and between and on my chest, and my saliva would be mixed with his saliva. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the siwak, and Aisha starts to recite on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the maw'idatan and make dua for his cure. But this time the Prophet says, فَقَالَ لَا Enough Aisha. بَلْ أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الرَّفِيقَ الْأَعْلَى. Instead, ask Allah Rabbul Izzah for the grand companions, مَعَ جِبْرِيلُ وَمِيكَائِيلُ وَإِسْرَافِيلُ. I want to be in the companionship of Jibreel, Mikael, and Israfil in the presence of my Lord. And having made his choice, Malakul Maut comes. And some of the narrations it says, Jibreel tells him, here is Malakul Maut. Never before has he asked any man for permission, nor after you will he ever ask another man for permission. And Malakul Maut came and sat at the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asking the Prophet permission, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making the choice. This is not audible, this is understood from the other ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked, given the choice, so he says, Allahumma al-Rafiq al-A'la. Then Malakul Maut says, Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbika radiyat al-mardiyya. Oh, safe and secure soul, oh mutma'in soul, come out to the pleasure of your Lord and to a happiness that He will be pleased with you and He will please you. And some of the aqwal towards the end of the life, when the angel comes to the righteous, he says, Ayyatuha ruhu tayyib, oh good soul and a good body, come out, ila ruhun wa rayhan, wa rabbun radin ghayra ghadban, come out to the pleasures of Jannah and to a Lord who is pleased with you and not this happy. And then they wrap this ruh in a package or in a cloth which smells of the most elegant and exclusive perfumes known to man. Aisha says, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ruh lifted and as his hand fell, well, the room started to fill with perfume, the like of which we haven't smelled ever before. Salama radiallahu anha says, I placed my hand on the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he died, and she says, وَضَعْتُ يَدِي عَلَى صَدْرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ مَاتِ, I put my hand on the chest of my husband the day he died. فَمَرَّ بِي جُمْعًا أَكُلُ وَأَتَوَضَّعُ, and Jum'ahs passed and I used to eat and make wudu, but the smell of mist never left my hand. And this is no surprise for the man whose sweat was the best of perfume. And the house of Sulaym, and the hadith is in Musnad Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the days when he was good and strong and healthy, went and slept in her house for Qaylula. And sleeping, he started to sweat. So she collected the sweat and put it in a little cup. And noticing what's happening, he woke up. And he said, Ya Sulaim, what are you doing? So she said, your sweat is the most grandest of our perfume, Ya Rasulullah. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has fallen. So Aisha started to cry, and the other women cried. And Hafsa radiallahu anha sent for her father, and Aisha sent for her father. Coincidentally, just in the morning when he was looking good, the Ashab thought that he has recovered and he has become good. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to him, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to go visit my wife on the other side of Medina. It is about 1.5 kilometers or 2 kilometers away. The Prophet said, go. Now Abu Bakr is there with his other family, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. So Aisha radiallahu anha sent someone to go and call Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But the first people to enter the house was Umar ibn al-Khattab and Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. And Umar comes into the house, asks permission, and the wives of the prophets cover. And Hafsa has told him that the Prophet has passed away. But Umar can't accept that the Prophet has passed away. So looking at him, he says, Wa Ghashiya, as in, oh unconscious one, oh you have lost consciousness again, O Prophet. O Prophet, you have fainted. And he said it 3 times, and crying walked out. And Mughira walked out behind him. And Mughira tells him at the door, says, Ya Umar, Mata Rasulullah. The Prophet hasn't fainted. The Prophet's died. So Umar looks at him, says, "Kadabt, ya Umar, you lied. Bal anta rajulun tahusaka bil fitna. You're a man who fitna has engulfed. You have fallen in fitna." And then, as the news spreads across Medina, and people are talking, and Fatima al-Zahra comes, and she starts to cry, and says, Ya Abata, ajab Rabbun da'a, Ya Abata, ila Jibreel an'a, Ya Abata, Jannatul Firdaus ma'wa. Oh dear Father, whose dua is always accepted. Oh dear Father, whose abode is Jannah. Oh dear Father, our condolences to Jibreel. Our condolences to Jibreel, he will no longer come to see you here on this earth. And Umar ibn al-Khattab takes out his sword and stands in the middle of the masjid and screams, "Whoever claims the Prophet has died, I will cut his neck off with my sword. The Prophet hasn't died, he has gone to meet Allah as Musa went to meet Allah. And he will come back, and when he comes back, he will cut the neck of the munafiqs for falling into this fitna." And the people have gathered around Umar, and Umar radiallahu anhu is shouting, and Uthman ibn Affan fell. Uthman ibn Affan fell, his legs couldn't carry him. Ali ibn Abi Talib went silent, he couldn't speak. They used to carry him this way, he used to go that way. They used to carry him that way, he used to go that way. Medina is sobbing, and then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq arrives. He goes into the house of Aisha, asking permission so that she allows him to enter. When he enters, her face is uncovered because it's her father. And then he uncovers the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of his lifelong friend and his companion in the Ghar, and the one whom he supported and defended, and the one whom he married his 9-year-old daughter to. That beloved man to him is lying down. So he looks at him and leans down and kisses the blessed forehead of the Prophet, and then looking up towards the heavens calls out, "Ya Nabi, ya. Ya Nabi, ya. Ya Nabi, ya." And then leans again, and looking at the Prophet, and falls on his forehead and kisses him again. And then he says, "Ya Safiya, ya Safiya, ya Safiya." And then again kisses him on the forehead and says, "Ya Khalila, ya Khalila." Oh, my dear friend. Oh, Prophet of Allah, oh, one selected by Allah. And then he says, "Tibta hayyan wa mayyita." You are beautiful when you are alive, and you are beautiful when you have died. You are great when you are alive, and you are great when you have died. And then he says, what Ibn al-Khattab is saying is nothing. Allah has prescribed this for you, and you will not die twice. As in, you have died now, you will not die twice. He comes out of the sacred house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and finds Umar shouting and screaming in the masjid. So he says, "Ala rislika ya Umar, ala rislika ya Umar, ijlis ya Umar, Umar sit, Umar stop." And Umar is screaming, "Whoever says that the Prophet has died, I will cut his throat with my sword. The Prophet hasn't died." And Ali, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, walked to the blessed member of the Prophet, and standing on top of the member, he radiallahu anhu started with hamd and salah. And then he says, "Amma ba'd, ya ayyuha al-nas, من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت." Whoever worshipped Muhammad, understand Muhammad has died. But whoever worshipped Allah, understand that he is eternal and doesn't die. And then he recited, ثم قرأ قول الله تعالى, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ Muhammad is not but a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. Before him other messengers were created. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ. If he were to die or is killed. أَنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Will you turn back on your heels, as in away from the religion? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And whoever turns on his heels will not cause any problem to Allah Rabbul Izzah. وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And Allah Rabbul Izzah will reward those who are thankful and grateful. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, the one who always stops at the nas of the Qur'an, realizing that this is what the Qur'an says, he fell to the ground. And he saw it in his hand and he says, Ya Abu Bakr, this is mentioned in the Qur'an. And the Abu Bakr says, Yes, Umar, this is mentioned, and Allah Rabbul Izzah mentioned, Innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun. O Muhammad, you will die, they will also die. So Umar started to cry and sob, and started to recite, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And the rest of the Ashab started to recite. And this starts to go across Medina, and everyone is finding comfort in the recitation of the verse, Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, has died. The seed of Prophet will die. The link between heaven and earth, as in through the chain of Wahy and Nubuwat, broke. The last of the Prophets came and went. And Allah honored me and you to make us of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is left in the house of Aisha, and even now, even in this instance, Umar ibn Khattab, as he heard the speech of Abu Bakr, and look at the heart of Umar. Straight away he says, O Muslims, this is Abu Bakr, the companion of the Prophet, and the learned of them, and one of their seniors. Make bay'ah to him. Even at this instance, straight away, make bay'ah to him. And then comes the time of Salah. And Bilal radiallahu anhu stands to give the azan. And he starts, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, until he reaches, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. And he starts to sob. And Medina starts to cry with him. Their Prophet has died. The one he used to proclaim 5 times a day, أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Today there is not the face for him to look at. So he stopped the azan. He couldn't continue. Abu Bakr came to him, Bilal, please finish the azan. Bilal, please finish the azan. Bilal continued, and they couldn't even understand the words he was uttering. And then it was his method, once the azan had finished and people had gathered for salah, he used to come to the door of the Prophet and he used to say, As-salah, Ya Rasulullah, As-salah. Now Bilal came to the door of the Prophet, and standing he says, As-salah, Ya Rasulullah, As-salah, Ya Rasulullah. And the companion said, who is Bilal calling? The Prophet is no more. And they heard a call from the heavens. You have done good. You have done good. Enter it in mercy. And they felt happy, content. So they went and offered their prayers. And this is the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I look around the room and many of the eyes are wet and many of the beards with tears. You have gone through living through the death of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every heart longs and is filled with love and muhabba for the Rasul. But understand that the love of the Prophet is the obedience of the Prophet. The love of the Prophet is the obedience of the Prophet. Obey the Prophet. Follow the commandments of the Prophet. Learn the Sunnah of the Prophet. Avoid the bid'ah the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned you against. Stick purely on his line. And you will notice as we go through the durus how the ashab clung onto the sunnah of their Rasul. So much so that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to go to Hajj and he used to try to make sure that the hoofs of his camel land where the hoofs of the Prophet's camel had landed. And may Allah Rabbul Izzah give me in you the tawfiq to become a deserving ummah of this Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah Rabbul Izzah, although we missed out on seeing him in this life, grant us the pleasure of his company in the next. Ya Rabb, resurrect us with the Prophet. O Allah, resurrect us and he is happy with us and you are happy with us, Ya Rabb. O Allah, make him look at us and smile, Ya Rabb. O Allah, make him look at us and say, you have done good. Ya Rabb, be pleased with us. And make the Prophet proud of us. And the angels pray for us. Ya Rabb, make us the ummah you wanted us to be, Ya Rabb. O Allah, remove the calamities from this ummah. Unite this ummah. Guard this ummah, Ya Rabb. Guard this ummah, Ya Rabb. Protect this ummah, Ya Rabb. Have mercy on this ummah, Ya Rabb. O Allah, you are the Lord of this ummah. Ya Rabb, the ummah has deviated. Bring it back on the sunnah of its founder, Ya Rabb. Bring it back on the sunnah of its Prophet. Put your love in the love of your Prophet in our hearts until we love nothing but you, Ya Rabb. And nothing but your Prophet, Ya Rabb. And make us of those who get to drink from the hold of the Prophet, from the blessed hands of the Prophet. Ya Rabb, make us of those that when we resurrected, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us drink from his hands, with his hands, and from his pool, Ya Rabb. And give us companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabb, we missed out in this world, don't make us miss out in the next. Ya Rabb, we didn't see the Prophet in this world, don't make us miss out in the next, Ya Rabb. Oh Allah, the deeds are so small, the sins are so great. But wallahi, we love you, Ya Rabb. We love you when we love your Prophet, Ya Rabb. Because of this love, Ya Rabb, have mercy, Ya Rabb. Because of this love, resurrect us with the Prophet, Ya Rabb. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabihi wa barakatuh wa sallim. Brethren, we will continue in the durus into the khilafat of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu until insha'Allah we have gone through the four khulafa al-Rashideen al-Mahdiyeen. May Allah Rabbul Izzah accept our efforts and your efforts and guide us and guard us and have mercy upon us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.